Hello, it's Lisa and Pete. This is our catch-up for anything you might have missed on the show.
Today, the completely bonkers and we love him for it, William McInnes. You may know him from Blue Heelers. He's also an author and his new book, Full Bore, is out now.
A restaurant in Port Beach is reportedly banning kids. We threw the phones over to you, Perth, to get your thoughts.
And just wait until you hear our calls on how people found out they were being cheated on.
Lisa and Pete are off having a swim in a nice warm pool. The Elite Triple Cell Solar Pool Blanket keeps your pool warmer, longer. See Elite at poolcovers.com.au. This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
Over to you, Perth. This is coming off the back of a chat that we were having a little bit earlier today. I wanted to hear your thoughts about it after a woman got very upset that Coast, which used to be Salt on the Beach in Port Beach, has decided, no, we're not going to allow under 18s and prams and stuff into our premises anymore. And she's not happy. We got Becky in Quinn's Rocks. Over to you, Becky.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
What do you think?
Oh, I think she's an absolute maniac. Seriously, she needs to go somewhere else and she needs to get herself a big life.
Exactly. That's all there is to it, isn't it? End of story.
Absolutely. I mean, if there were lots of places doing it and it made it hard for parents with kids, then definitely that would be an issue. But we're talking about one place.
Exactly.
Like, go somewhere else, sweetie, and get a life.
Nicely said, Becky. Thanks, Becky. Let's hear more opinions. We've got Clem in Rockingham. Hi, Clem.
G'day, guys. Look, I think this woman and all her friends that she's sort of passing the word
Spreading the word to,
need to take a little bit of advice from the old Barley singlet that says, go Bunnings, buy a bag of cement and harden the you-know-what up.
Oh, I thought it was build a bridge. but any of those.
I mean, I'm just getting really, really tired of how precious everybody gets when somebody doesn't do something they want or says something they don't like.
Yeah. Mm. Take it as a personal insult, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. We live in a society where we're so dominated by, you know, social media that everybody feels that, you know, if they don't get their own way, they can have their whinge and moan.
Mm.
And it just really concerns me that as a society, we're starting to become more and more precious about everything. We just really need to, you know, get a backbone and go, you know what? If I don't like it, I can go somewhere else.
And that's the power and that's the choice. And you're right, Clem, we're backing ourselves into a corner and it's not going to be a fun world.
No way.
Ruth in Ellenbrook, over to you, Ruth. What do you think?
Well, I'd hate to have a night planned where you get a babysitter so your screaming baby isn't with you and your husband, and then you go to a restaurant and you listen to someone else's screaming
baby.
Yes,
exactly.
And I think the 18-year-old limit is great, but people need to know before they get there.
That's true.
As long as they know before they get there, then they can't complain.
And I wonder if maybe some of her, you know, anger came from the fact that she was unprepared. And, you know, of course, it was chucked a spanner in her work. She had the 16-year-old, the 18-year-old. I guess they're in a transitional period and perhaps good idea to check online for those things.
Yeah, right? I think so. And I think that's a really good point that you both make, Ruth and you, Lisa. Do your homework. Simple as that. Because there are going to be those places out there. And if you don't want your night messed up, just do your homework. Do some reading.
Enjoy the night.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you, Ruth.
Bye.
The book is Full Bore. It's by William McInnes, and he joins us on the line now. Good to have you on the show, mate.
Well, it's wonderful to be on your show. And there's so much about it.
Oh, really?
Stop it.
I hope it's all good.
all of it's top shelf.
Thank you.
The brand name's all over you.
Great.
All highly of you.
That will tick that box. You know, that's what they want.
Do you even know what the show's called?
Yes, it's called Proctology. Do it yourself.
Yeah, well said.
All right, well, that just altered my questions a little, but let's go.
Bend over, kitty. It'll be all right.
So nice to have another book from you because you're a fabulously witty writer and a lot of things that are, you know, out there at the moment are a bit of a full bore, but this one, not a full bore at all.
Yes, full bore comes from a time, and I was born in 64, so full bore comes from the mid to late 70s. It was a term that was used in Queensland, I think, where I grew up.
Yeah.
And full bore, I think it originated from doing something to improve the performance of a car's engine.
Mm-hmm.
But to go full bore at something is to go, you know, full tilt, you know.
You didn't leave anything
in the tank. You just had a red hot go at it.
A piece from here and a piece from there.
Yes, absolutely. So that's what the book's about. It's about sort of the way you embrace your life and, I guess, it was that particular play on.
Do you think we're getting a little less bore at the moment where I'm sure things are cyclical in the way we do things, but as you said, that late 70s, early 80s, we did go full bore on things.
Yeah, but I don't know, really. I mean, you know, you can look what happened in America with the big Donald Trump who has just sort of, he's like a great big sort of packet of potato dead come to life, isn't he? Sort of radioactively, he's, you know, it's bizarre. I mean, that is pretty amazing. So I guess we're sort of entering a twilight zone of Sideshow Alley craziness.
Don't you think, at the very least, it is going to be interesting?
Well, that is an understatement. I mean, God, hang on, kids.
Yeah, buckle up.
Buckle up, everything you've got.
What I love about, you know, going four bore is that I feel like we live in a time now where it's very headline driven. It's very clickbait driven. You know, everybody out there don't necessarily go four bore in terms of reading the full story, you know, going past the headline and the other thing as well, which I love about this book is the fact that it's anecdotes, you know, a good story. And there is nothing like a good story. It's such a great tradition to have.
Well, the idea is like it's not a memoir. I mean, it's not a book about having, you know, some big dark reveal or some sensational secret when you realise that at the end of the book, the weird cross-eyed second cousin you'd saw every Christmas, who sort of talked to himself in the pool reflection, turns out to be an international man of mystery and a hired assassin. There's none of that stuff. This is about life, you know, how getting out of the bed and going to the toilet in the morning can be bigger than an Indiana Jones adventure.
Yes.
Because that's life. You know,
and that's what we share.
Well, yeah, you do. We all share it. I mean, when I was a kid, back in the days of yore, in between sort of trying to get the ring from Golem on my way to school, there was this thing they used to have breakfast cereal, toys and breakfast cereal, they were gold. You'd do anything to get in early. Now, there was back then in the 70s, early 70s, there was this thing called the rice bubble dunk.
Yes.
Where I was the youngest in the family, and my sister Rian would say, come here, and you can really hear them snap, crackle and pop, but you've got to get really close. And like an idiot, you'd put your ear close to the bowl, and then someone, usually my sister Rian or my brother Vaughan, would just push my ear into the bowl of cereal.
Mm.
And if you have a touch of Anzac, you sort of give a nod and get on with it. Or a punce like me, I just bellow and cry. And the only way I could get any justice was to be given the right to get the toy out of the breakfast cereal. No, I just, bits of moulded crap. Like there was one series of National Dress of the World. There was a German dude that my father said, look at this little bugger, he's got a hungry bum. And he coined him Von Hungry Bum. And, you know, that was bizarre. And then he said, get out of the pool, Von Hungry Bum's Express is on, which is an old Frank Sinatra movie called Von Ryan's Express. But I had a mate called Neville, who was also the youngest, who, to get back at his brother and sisters for, you know, getting the toy out, he would put other bits of crap in, anything. And his mother would sort of be interested and then alarmed at what this kid was putting in there. Like, he put a pen, and then he put bottle tops in there. He said, this is pulled out of a sort of Fruit Loops and says, look, that's the world of beer bottle tops, Mum. And she's staring at him like he's a lunatic. And the best thing he put in there was a set of car keys, which was bizarre. But the best one was his father's dental plate.
Oh, really? I don't remember that series.
And then she went and, you know, when her mum, she worked at the tuck shop that my mum worked at, and she said, your mate's Neville, he's an idiot. And when I kiss Carl goodbye every morning, he still smells of Fruit Loops. It's awful.
It's totally a youngest child thing. I can understand entirely. I think I got in trouble so many times for chipping the cereal out to find the toy. You were meant to just find it, you know, organically, as they would say now, but you always tipped it out.
Yeah, you just did the sifting like some mad gold miner on the field sifting through some dirt. Memories, marvellous memories. That's the quality of the book we're talking about.
and that's a good thing. That's a plus.
And also coffee. You know, my dad was of a generation where he was suspicious of coffee because, son, it's too bloody American for my life. And it only, you know, it comes out of a jar with a sombrero on it, or, you know, cafe, international roast, or even worse, caterer's blend that my father had in his workshop when he had his, you know, his cafe bar.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle, son. It's jet age. It's jet age because there's no need for milk. It's got whitener. And I think whitener was a happy accident of the petroleum industry. So Christ knows what you're putting in your, you were digesting.
Coffex or something.
Yeah, Coffex, whatever.
Do you remember the old Nescafe love story? You know, before there was Katutin, I think there was those two in the deli in the country.
Yeah, they were always, there was always a story. My favourite coffee, I think, had to be There was two. One for the international man from International Nescafe, which was shot in the Glasshouse Mountains in Queensland.
Right.
And there was this guy with a porn star mustache on a safari suit and aviators got out of the helicopter and tasted this coffee, which was supposed to be in some South American fictional country. But they all looked like they'd come out of a pub from Sutton's Beach. And he nodded and he gave the thumbs up. And this voice goes, "Yes, the man from Nescafe is happy." But the other one was Coffee Mate, which was his
coffee
additive.
Coffee Mate, that's it. Yeah. And sugaring.
And I can remember my dad going up to Kenny McCrone's BP on the corner. And Kenny McCrone had a cafe bar, but he didn't use, he said, "I got this stuff from the chemist. It's a cafe, it's Coffee Mate. I'm not going to use that whitener they give you." And my dad said, I was in the car, and my dad said, "Did you see that bloke on the ads, that stuff?" And there was a song, and this guy raised his eyebrow, and Kenny McCrone went, "His eyebrow, by God, yes, he could wipe his ass with it."
Well, if the idea of Coffee Mate and a safari suit makes you nostalgic, you need this book.
Well, yes, and it'll do all sorts of things to you, this book.
Great.
Put weight on, it'll take weight off, it'll change the colour of your hair, it'll put hairs in your chest, it'll do anything you want.
It's called...
Guaranteed, conditions applied.
Full bore. William McInnes, you beauty. No.
William, we were hoping that you might hang around just for a couple more moments and play a little game sort of sorts with us.
Does it require me being blindfolded?
No, it just requires your immediate reaction to a couple of things, you know, that have been in the news.
Yes, of course.
Okay, we'll just put some names to you and the first thing that comes into your mind is called getting McInneside. First of all, Nick Kyrgios.
Spaceships. He comes from the planet Kyrgios. I can do whatever I want to, mate. I mean, I don't need it. I earn more money than you have.
Donald Trump.
Potato Deb.
Darren Buff Lehman.
Hands up.
Kim and Kanye West.
Oh, please. Well, gosh, what would I do? Moccasins.
The last 10 years of Australian politics.
Pay school. It's pay school.
And you know.
I'm Malcolm Turnbull. I want to be Big Ted.
The almost union of Mariah and James Packer.
Well, I said something very bad. Well, the almost, oh, my God. Well, the Woman's Day cover than ever was.
But probably still will be. And one more, yeah. Cocktail party finger food that involves holding a plate and possibly even chopsticks. Yes, my thoughts, exactly. William McInnes, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing now. Slightly orgasmic.
Well,
so do we.
If we can leave it like that.
That's what should have been for Mariah and James.
Yes. But the best combined name ever, don't you think? Kerry Packer.
I never thought of that.
Well, that's why I wanted them to stay together.
Can you imagine if Kerry Packer sang like her?
I can't live.
The Christmas song in the snow by the Snow Slave.
The one where she gets really high. Oh, God. Yeah.
That's all of them, isn't it?
Yeah,
it would have been like that all the time.
Make sure you grab Full Bore out at all good book retailers. A pleasure. William McInnes, we'll catch up with you soon, mate.
Well, thanks so much for listening to my... This is better than a therapy lesson.
Oh, God. We've left you orgasmic and calm.
I feel I'm on the road to recovery.
I hope we haven't sent you back to smoking. Thanks, William.
All right, guys. Thanks.
See you, mate. Bye. We want to know, how did you find out that you were being cheated on after Yaog, who's a YouTuber.
Yaog.
Capital Y-A-O-G. Followed his wife with a drone and found her getting into a black minivan. And the rest is history. We got Diane Dianella. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Di. What happened?
It was a long time ago now. Mm-hmm. I put my husband through 4 years of university and then he got assigned to Sydney. So we moved from the country into Sydney to go for him to do a PhD in veterinary physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And we had two small children at the time, about 6 months into the first year. I rang up his office and tried to talk to him, but I got his offsider, who is his aide for the PhD. And I said, oh, I need to leave a message. And he said, oh, no, but I'll see you tonight at the Bet Science Ball. And I went, what ball?
What?
And he goes, oh, no, Peter's got two tickets. And I went, I don't know anything about it. And he goes, oh. And at that point, I realised.
Oh.
So he took his student, one of his students, he was a lecturer at uni,
to the Bet Science Ball. And worse.
Die.
And I had two small children, so it was like, I went, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
The big, dirty adjective. Honestly, oh, Di, that is shocking.
Well, I forgave him. But he had about seven other affairs throughout our marriage.
Di, why'd you forgive him?
I kept forgiving him. What I didn't forgive him for is when after I put him through another 4 years in university and then he wanted to go back and do medicine and I said no.
Oh, my God. So yeah, we pass the hat around, buddy. They'll pay for it. Go, yes. Yeah, it's a GoFundMe with your a HoFundMe campaign.
Oh, man.
That's terrible. I'm glad he's gone now.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew and Wellard, how are you?
Not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Yeah, good.
How did you find out?
Yeah.
I had to actually ring the guy.
What?
I found out through, and she added him on Facebook. And
yeah.
It's a bit suspicious, and I sort of put two and two together, and she wouldn't admit it. So I asked for this guy's number, and he admitted it.
Oh.
So how does that conversation go? I'm just really curious. Like, do you start with a hello, you know, it's so-and-so, I'm the partner of this person who you're currently doing. Like, is that how it all comes together? Like, how does that conversation go?
Yeah, it's awkward.
Oh, awkward, yes.
You know, and we have three kids together, so it's even worse. But, I was very calm. I had to stay very calm, obviously. But,
good for you.
I think possibly I might be better off in the future.
Yeah.
I think so, possibly as well.
Absolutely. You're certainly blocking her from Facebook now, Andrew.
Oh, definitely. That's a new profile now. So,
Right, mate. That's unreal. We got Natasha in Ashby. How did you find out you were being cheated on, Natasha?
Hi there. Wine receipts. Wine receipts from the, you know, the mini bars in the hotel.
And he's a beer drinker, I guess.
And he's a beer drinker. Mm. And the funny thing is that I used to book his accommodation when he'd work away.
Yeah. Mm.
And I always wondered why I had to book two rooms when he was going with a workmate. And, and then I keep seeing, like, the mini bar receipts and it was wine and there was no, like, why would you drink wine when
damn chic of him.
Yeah.
He had you book the room.
Yeah, I would book the room and wondered why. So then one night I overheard him. So, yeah, it did affirm. I mean, normally women know, don't they? Women's intuition. But it was
I hope he gets bitten by a parasite. I really do.
Natasha. Thank you for telling your story, Natasha.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5. Lisa and Pete are probably tucked away at home right now, same as the Elite Hideaway pool cover system. Out of sight, out of mind. See Elite at poolcovers.com.au.